Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Carmanah Technologies Corporation Fourth Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. Before beginning its formal remarks, Carmanah would like to remind listeners that certain portions of today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that reflect views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in forward-looking statements. For more information on forward-looking statements and the company's risks and uncertainties relating to such forward-looking statements, please read Carmanah's annual report as filed with SEDAR and which is posted on their website, www.carmanah.com. All currency amounts are expressed in U.S. dollars, with the exception of the company's TSX-listed share price, which is quoted in Canadian dollars. The company's financial statements are prepared in accordance with the IFRS, or Internal Financial Reporting Standards. During this call, the company may also refer to adjusted EBITDA, a non-IFRS financial measure, which is calculated as earnings before the interest, income taxes, amortization, stock-based compensation, and the various one-time charges, which are detailed in their publicly filed management discussion and analysis. Carmanah uses this metric internally in addition to others to make strategic decisions and evaluate their performance. If anyone has any difficulties hearing this conference, please press star zero for an operator at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Wednesday, March 30th, at 6:00 A.M. Pacific Time and 9:00 A.M. Eastern Time. I would like to turn the call over to Mr. John Simmons, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, operator, and good morning, everyone. As the operator said, I'm John Simmons, and I will be joined on this call by Evan Brown, our Chief Financial Officer. Evan and I are in different locations today. Evan is in our Victoria, BC offices, where it's very early in the morning, and I'm on vacation in Mexico. Please forgive me if we're a bit disjointed, and if you think you hear birds singing in the background, that's exactly what you're hearing. I also want to say that we filed or attempted to file our financial statements with SEDAR last night, and we also posted our financial statements on our website. We found this morning that there is a problem with SEDAR, and the financial statements have yet to be filed on the national dissemination system. We expect that to be remedied very shortly. My apologies. I think this matter was out of our control, but my apologies to the analysts who we try to afford some time outside of market hours to review our financial statements and prepare for this call. We contemplated delaying this call, but because it was queued up, we've determined to go ahead. We will still take your questions, and to the analysts specifically, we'll be able to add more color, but obviously no additional disclosure once our financial statements are filed on SEDAR. In the meantime, I invite you to review the statements that are on our website at carmanah.com. Again, I'm sorry for this confusion. On February 24th, we released preliminary and selected financial information for our fourth quarter and for the full year 2015. As I said, our full-year audited results should be on SEDAR shortly. As is our practice on these calls, Evan and I will make a few opening comments, and then we'll open the floor for questions from the analysts, and we welcome questions from shareholders as well. So let's get started. In all respects, 2015 was a great year for Carmanah and a very solid continuation to the turnaround and growth plan that we began about 2.5 years ago. And on behalf of our board and shareholders, I want to publicly thank all of my Carmanah staff colleagues for their extraordinary efforts. In a minute, Evan's going to walk you through the financial specifics of 2015's fourth quarter. But before he does, I'd also like to let you know that in addition to being pleased with our financial results, we're also pleased by our acquisition of the Sabot Group of Companies in mid-2015 and delighted to be working with our new partners. I expect you may have some questions about our integration of these businesses, so I'll wait and address these matters during the question period. But I did want to pass along just how pleased we are about the Sabot acquisition. Evan, can you walk us through Q4?
Sure. Thanks, John. Revenues for the fourth quarter were $21.3 million, up from $13.5 million in the same period in 2014. The majority of the increase is attributed to our signal segment. The increase was a result of $8.4 million of revenues picked up from SABIC. Overall revenues from Carmanah's historical signals verticals were down $1.3 million. The decline was primarily due to lower marine revenues caused by the elimination of intercompany sales to SABIC and the spike in marine revenues we saw in 2014 in the same quarter, which was attributed to the introduction of the new 800 series Lantern to the U.S. Coast Guard. Our power segment also had higher sales, up $1.4 million. This increase was driven by higher revenues in both our on- and off-grid verticals. In our illumination segment, we had sales of $3.3 million, up substantially from Q3 2015, but down from Q4 2014, which saw record sales of $4 million. Gross margin percentage for the fourth quarter was down 2% compared to the same period in 2014. The decrease was largely due to the revenue mix with the lower margin power segment. The gross margins for on-grid were negative in the fourth quarter. This was primarily due to cost overruns on a large portfolio of products, which required additional labor to complete on schedule. Gross margins in off-grid were slightly lower due partly to the impact of the solar panel tariffs levied on the U.S. and Canadian governments on panels manufactured in China. We estimated that the tariff negatively impacted margins by approximately 1.5% for the year. Margins in the signals and illumination segments remained strong in the fourth quarter. Operating expenses for the fourth quarter were $5.7 million, up from $4.2 million in the same period of 2014. A significant portion of this increase was attributed to the acquisition of SABIC, which resulted in the pickup of $2.3 million in the fourth quarter. Included in SABIC's operating expenses was amortization related to acquired intangible assets, which is accounted for approximately $300,000. If we exclude SABIC in our operating expenses, they would have been lower by approximately $600,000 in the fourth quarter. Net income in the fourth quarter was $600,000, up from $300,000 in the same period 2014, and adjusted EBITDA was $2.5 million, up from $1.2 million in the same period of 2014. Full-year revenues were $68.2 million, up 56% over 2014, with full-year adjusted EBITDA of $8.6 million, up from $4 million in 2014. Back to you, John.
Thanks, Evan. You know, when we began the turnaround and growth journey, our first mission was to improve the operations of all our businesses and to become solidly profitable. We've made great strides in reversing Carmanah's history of losses in 2014 and built on our mission of growing profitability in 2015. But when we started this quest, we also said that through these initial terms, we would plan a strategy for the future and build new operating plans around the strategy. We are now at this stage and now have specific plans for each of our business segments. First, as our power businesses prosper, we expect solid growth to be achieved without significant investment. And while we expect growth, we also expect that the contribution from these businesses will be proportionately smaller than that achieved by our other businesses in the years to come. Our signals business is a different story. We've determined a strategy to invest in and to grow our signals businesses both organically and by way of acquisition. Organically, we're going to continue to invest in finding the right last mile partners, helping them to understand our product portfolio, and working with each to maximize our sales opportunities in local markets. In addition, we are active in acquisition discussions with a variety of Signals businesses. Signals market is very fragmented, and we continue to think that we can be effective in acquiring to broaden our product portfolio and distribution. Finally, we're also investing in significant product development focused primarily on adding advanced telematics and remote monitoring so that we can lead the way in the Internet of Things capability in these highly specialized signals markets in which we operate. In addition to our preparedness to invest in signals, we're also committed to investing in the development of our solar LED illumination business. In this business, we are experiencing very favorable movement in component costs and technology advancements, and expect that the product portfolio and distribution plan that we're building in 2016 will pave the way for significant growth in 2017 and beyond in this product category. Starting then, we expect to be able to compete with grid-connected lighting on a cost and performance basis for new construction in the developed world. And as this happens, our addressable market will grow exponentially. While this is a small and very lumpy business now, I continue to expect that it will ultimately dwarf our other businesses. So we've had a great year in 2015, and for 2016 and beyond, our strategies are in place, and we're planning our work and working our plan. So I think I'll leave it at that. Operator, please queue for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Our first question comes from McMurray Whale from Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Looking at signals in the quarter, around $12.5 million in revenue, given the product launches and the product development that you foresee, what sort of level of incremental revenue can we expect? Is that run rate a good estimate for the year?
Good morning, Mac.
Good morning.
So that's, we expect the growth in our signals business to be sort of all over the map because each of these individual verticals, I think, is subject to different growth rates and different opportunities. So I'm not trying to run away from your question, but for example, we expect that in the marine business, our growth rates to be through acquisition, we expected those to be kind of GDP type growth rates, and until and except we develop new product iterations that we think will have some impact on obsoleting the installed base. So I don't think we're going to see great growth in the marine business over this next year, but as we add advanced telematics to these products, we think we will have a very compelling story to tell our customers. And that compelling story will allow them to significantly reduce their maintenance costs by making some more capital expenditure, and that capital expenditure will be in the form of our products. So I'm going to go through these one by one for you and just show you my point of view on each of them, which I hope will be helpful. So that's marine. So I would say generally single-digit growth, GDP-style growth until we have a next iteration, a broad iteration of products that have these advanced telematics capabilities within them. We expect to see significant growth, however, in the offshore wind business over time. The capital expenditures in offshore wind by all industry accounts indicate there will be growth in 300 to 500% over the next 4 or 5 years. We've just recently seen some news out of the United States where new offshore wind permitting is coming into effect. So everything seems to be brisk there, and we would expect very high growth rates in that business over the next 4 or 5 years. The airfield ground lighting business, again, I think as it is a two-market story, we would expect that business to be, I think single-digit growth rates are within scope there, but this is a very small business, and some individual projects could create some lumpiness. So we could be fortunate and get one of those lumps in our favor, or I think we can see some reasonably modest growth rates. And the aviation obstruction business, I think, has great growth potential, and I would put it into the 10 to 20% range sort of going forward, we would expect, and that is largely the effect of new tower construction, new onshore wind turbine construction. Both of these market verticals can utilize our products. The traffic business, I think, can still enjoy some growth as well, and I would put it into one of the higher growth areas. So that covers the waterfront in terms of my point of view on our various signals businesses.
Okay. That's helpful. In terms of the seasonality, Evan can remind us of what that typically looks like, or what you, I guess we haven't seen a full year with SABIC. So is there some seasonality we should be thinking about?
Yeah, there's a bit of a season, Evan, you can help me with this as well. There's a bit of a seasonal curve to the SABIC work. And again, these are, and this is SABIC offshore, we're talking about the wind farm marking business. And the seasonality curve there really sort of runs, and it can be very lumpy as well, Mac, in that these are reasonably large contracts that go over a long period of time. We saw last year, for example, during our acquisition year, that their business, the SABIC offshore business, was reasonably soft in the two quarters preceding acquisition and was quite strong in the two quarters that followed. I don't know whether it's going to be seasonal like that or whether that was just how the contracts fell. It's hard for me to tell. Evan, okay. Do you have any comments there?
Yeah, no, John, I agree with that. It is hard to predict, but typically we've seen the latter half of the year a little bit stronger.
Okay. And then on illumination, obviously that's the big growth area, as you pointed out. It is hard to forecast, as I'm sure your forecasts internally are difficult as well. Like when you look at the $9 million in the year, but it's also a $13 million sort of run rate. So yet there was a quarter at $1 million. With that big variation, is there how confident are you in your internal forecasts? And has that confidence changed in, say, 3 months ago?
Mac, I don't actually think of these in terms of confident or not confident. I mean, I think I have explained, but we'll do so again, that this is a tale of two business plans. The first is, and this these comments only apply to the developed world. In the developed world, principally the United States, for our purposes, people buy solar lights currently when they either can't access the grid or they're trying to make a particular environmental statement. And up until now, they always do that at a financial penalty to themselves. We are approaching this business with the belief that we can compete with grid-connected lighting in a short period of time. When that happens, and that's the nature of all of the development work we're doing right now, but when that happens, we expect that the addressable market will become very great. So So we are going to continue to run what I will call the old business plan because it's still profitable for us and keeps us in the business as we move along. But our expectations are that as we move from through the next set of product iterations, we will be at that place where we can legitimately compete financially with grid-tied lighting for parking lots and pathways and some streets in select numbers of U.S. states. And as the cost curves continue to move, we think that the addressable market will increase geographically at the same time. So,
okay.
So am I confident? You know, we've got the quote activity is large. We lose, you know, it shows there's a lot of market interest in solar lighting. And I think that up until now, we see a lot of fall off from quote to sale in our prospect portfolio, largely when cost is considered. And as soon as we're able to address that properly, we think we'll have a tiger by the tail. That's our thesis, and I see no reason to change it.
Now, is there, when you look at that opportunity and you see suppliers like Cree coming out with their new luminaires right about now, and I understand you're trying to incorporate that into your products, sort of your next generation products for a launch later this year, do you fear that your customers will wait for that product, and so you won't be able to maintain sort of current level of sales on the old business model because there'll be some anticipation like, hey, why do we bother with these ones? We'll just wait. So could you see sort of as a lead up to those launches actually less business?
Well, I take a look at the customers that we are currently attracting, again, in the developed world. They're customers that predominantly are making their decisions because they need light and they have no other way of getting it. And again, so mostly I would say access to the grid problems are the things that are plaguing these customers. And so I think that that's the driving force. So, you know, if they want to wait, they'll wait. But I think if they need light, they're going to have to deal with someone. And I don't think that making a decision to defer until a next generation of product would be necessarily sensible. Another pretty big customer for us is the U.S. Department of Defense that has some security concerns, and they buy a lot of, they have been our largest customer, I think, in the United States, and typically they are buying to be off-grid on purpose, and so I'm not sure that any of that changes sort of along the way. What we're really saying is that customers that are attracted to solar and then discard the idea because of the cost will, in the near term, still be attracted to solar, but just won't discard the idea when they can see that it's cost competitive and that the lights will operate without compromise.
Okay, and just lastly, on the SG&A, it's quarterly run rate kind of flat now. Is that a good level to think about for 2016 on a quarterly basis, or do you think there's still some operational improvements that can bring that lower?
I don't think we're going to see very much reduction in expense levels, Mac, as we move forward. I think our focus is to try to get operational leverage now by increasing revenues and trying to hold those SG&A costs where they are.
Okay, great. That's all my questions. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Deepak Kaushal from GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Hi, Deepak. Good morning.
Hey, good. Great. You know, I guess I wanted to start off with the power business. You've seen some strength in that business. It's not a business that you're actively allocating new capital to. What's the outlook for that power business? How long can you think these high growth rates can be sustained, and what are the drivers of that?
Sure. We've got great management in both our on-grid and off-grid groups, and they're seeing all sorts of new customer activities. And I would say these are very large market opportunities, and I don't see any reason why growth rates should fall off. That said, part of our reason for not investing in these businesses in any large or meaningful way is that we don't do anything that is particularly unique. Our technologies are not tremendously distinguished from our competitors. And as such, these are businesses that I think that we would have a hard time defending if we needed to. So it's kind of a duplicitous statement I'm making here, because we still expect a high degree of growth in these businesses, and we do see opportunities. But I think it's largely because we're on a tide that's lifting all boats, not because we're distinguishing ourselves particularly uniquely by our product portfolio or technology.
Okay, sounds like ride the tide while it's rising. That's good. Just on the gross margin side, I was wondering if you could offer some more color on the gross margin loss in the quarter. I think in your filing you mentioned some cost overruns on solar rooftop projects. Maybe the nature of those problems, are they one time? Do you expect that to bleed into the next quarter or two? How should we interpret those issues?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to do so. We have one customer that with which we contracted to do a portfolio of rooftop projects in Ontario in the second quarter of last year. We made some errors in the quoting process. These are reasonably small margin. This is a small margin business in any event, but we made some errors in quotations and our estimates, and as a result, that had an impact on margin. And then to exacerbate this problem, we also got behind in terms of our project completion schedule, and as a result, we added overtime labor to bring those contracts back on track and complete them. So we did essentially a large block of projects for and earned a very small gross margin. So we've taken remedial action with respect to new business going forward, where we have put some additional processes in place to review our quotes to make sure that we don't make that same mistake, and we have doubled down on our construction management or project management processes, so that we can avoid this need to add additional higher cost labor on an overtime basis sort of going forward. So I think it's a one time only event. It was an error made in some estimates. These things do happen, but we have a responsibility to make sure that mistakes like this are not repeated, and I don't think they will be.
Okay, great. Thanks. I appreciate the color on that. The only other kind of big picture question I had was related to kind of the cash and the strategy to use that cash going forward. You have about $15 million in the bank, roughly $10 million in debt, with some cash tied up in working capital. What should we expect in terms of working capital reversal, and how much cash do you need to run sort of the organic business, including the investment in new products and signals and illumination? What's kind of the level of cash that you're comfortable with for that kind of organic investment?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to ask Evan to add to my comments. I will tell you that one of the other things that we did in 2015 that we are not repeating in 2016 is that we used some of our cash to help some of our on-grid power customers finance their construction projects, which tended to bloat our receivables. And we've determined that that wasn't a really good use of cash. And in our work going forward this year, we are dealing with a customer group, and we have a group of significant customers, all of whom have alternative financing means, and so we will we should see a reversal in cash investment and receivables related to on-grid as we move forward. Evan, do you have any other comments in terms of cash flow reversal?
Yeah, I mean, it is a good point. There's a bit of cyclicality on that on-grid business where we do have a larger receivable, which does get paid typically during the first quarter of the next year. So you will see a reversal coming through for a significant portion of that. Looking at five times, turning AR five times and turning inventory eight times is sort of the metrics that we're sort of looking at right now. So if that helps, Deepak.
Yeah, that's very helpful, actually. I appreciate that.
And Deepak, I think you also asked if there would be any continuation into this year. Frank, I can't remember if it was you or whether it was Mac when he asked if there would be a continuation in 2016 of some of these gross margin problems. I should have also added when I was talking about that, we also suffered with our off-grid business an unexpected Canada and U.S. import duty, anti-dumping duty from Chinese suppliers. And we originally anticipated we would see very little effect from that that anti-dumping duty, because we were working with other alternative suppliers, but just the time and logistics required to put those other suppliers in place made it such that we did have to move product into the United States and Canada from China, and we paid those large duty impacts. There was still some inventory in our subject to that higher cost that would be carried over into Q1 2016, reasonably modest amount. Most of it has been accounted for in our 2015 numbers. So there is that aspect as well that had an impact on margins, which we expect to be temporary only and will be completely through our system by the end of this quarter, maybe a little bit of drip into second quarter of 2016. And as I say, we are our on-grid business will remain a reasonably low-margin business, but we are really doubling our efforts to make sure that that we suffer no erosion on those margins. And I think that will still carry over a little bit into Q1 because we're doing some project completions, but all new business that we will entertain in 2016, we should be able to hold margins pretty steady.
Okay, great. And then just on the level of sustaining cash that you think you need for investing in new signals and illumination products and running the business, of course.
Yeah, well, I think we've got excess cash right now. I think that we expect that EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA and free cash flow should be about the same, so we should be producing cash and adding cash as we go along. We don't think that there's much of a seasonal impact in this business, so I don't think we have to cover the vagaries of that. We have undrawn operating lines of credit that remain undrawn, so I think we could reduce our cash levels or deploy that cash in acquisitions or additional investment. I don't know if we've studied this precisely yet, But I would say that we have $10 to $15 million of cash that we could invest elsewhere. And as all of our product development is expensed as incurred, we still see free cash flow beyond that, and we expect to be spending R&D dollars at in the probably at the highest level we have for quite a number of years, but still sort of within expectations. So I think cash shouldn't be much of an issue for us here at all.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thanks. You know, I appreciate all the details on these finer points, and hope that you have the good balance of your vacation.
Good. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ravil Asil from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for hosting the conference call. Just on this R&D higher expense forecast, now is this just for a couple of quarters as you build these new products, or is this something that should be ongoing for the Signals division?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm not even sure I know the answer to that, Ravil. Good morning, by the way.
So, we
try to take the approach with our R&D expenditures for all of our operating divisions where we have a flexible development resource and the ability to raise and lower our expenditure and actually execute on that work utilizing both our internal resources and some outside contractors. And we try to choose projects that make sense both, from an internal rate of return sort of basis to move things up. This coming year, we will probably spend a little more in terms of product development than in our prior years. But I'm not sure that it's just, I'm not sure that. We will carry on that practice in future years, and I think that those numbers could vary tremendously depending on what we see as needs in the market and what opportunities are in front of us. So I'm not sure that's a very good answer to your question, and I'm not sure I can do much better than that. Evan, do you have any comments?
No, that was good.
Right. So a more related question to this. So R&D expenditure, at least in my mind, what it's going to do is going to reduce the cost of the components that are used in your Signals LED lighting. So that has the potential to increase your gross margins eventually and probably increase your penetration rate as well in some markets. On the flip side, eventually I think you will potentially have to pass these gross margin expansion or the cost savings down to your customers. So with those two things in mind, how do you think your gross margins could look like in 2016 and 2017 relative to the levels where they were in 2015?
Well, we're pretty happy with our gross margins in the Signals business, which we think should be sustainable in this low 40% kind of range. And I think we're going to try to keep them there. I think that the point of our research and development expenditures are to create devices, as I said earlier, that will have the impact of obsoleting the installed base and set forward new revenue opportunities, not necessarily at different margin levels.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you. And finally, that was great color on the different subdivisions between the Signals, the growth rates for them. Obviously, you don't break down how much is marine and the different businesses. But overall, is it safe to say about 50% of your Signals business is a high-growth business, whereas 50% is close to GDP? How should I calculate the weighted average growth rate for the Signals business, given the different markets?
Boy, I don't want to mislead you, and so I'm only doing this almost anecdotally, but I think I would think of it in sort of those terms. I don't think that that's a bad estimate. Evan?
No, that sounds pretty close without going through them in at a granular level.
Okay, great. And my final question, what sort of valuation multiples are you seeing for the acquisition opportunities in the Illumination division versus Signals division? Are there some characteristics of some Signals businesses that make them higher valuation multiple businesses versus lower valuation multiple businesses? Any color on that will be really helpful.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, there's precious little for us to consider in terms of acquisition opportunities in the illumination business. We're only interested in solar LED businesses, and those number of competitors that we see are reasonably few and really quite small businesses. So we think that this is more of an organic growth story than an acquisition possibility. In the signals businesses, valuations, I think, will vary. SABIC was acquired at about 8 times trailing EBITDA. That would be a pretty comfortable number for us. We've looked at a couple of other situations that are running in that range or slightly higher. And I think that we would consider those valuations appropriate for businesses that have some claim to leadership in their space. So either market share or product portfolio platform in a position of leadership would probably give rise to those higher valuations. We'd love to think about making acquisitions at 6 or 7 times trailing EBITDA, but I'm not sure we can accomplish those valuations. So the world of valuations generally seems to be moving. Public company valuation seems to have moved around a little bit. I'm not sure that the private companies, which are typically our targets, have actually moved very much in the minds of the vendors as yet. So I think we're going through a period of adjustment, and I think we feel that in the discussions that we're having.
That was great color. Thank you very much. And my final question, and I know you addressed this previously, but just for housekeeping purposes, G&A expense close to $3 million per quarter. That's how I should think about this going forward?
Evan?
Yeah, that's fairly consistent. Like John said, as we grow, we hope to hold those
so we get some operational leverage.
Okay, and then sales and marketing around the same in Q4, $1.7 million?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Great, guys. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. We have no further questions at this time.
Thanks, operator. So I'll just make a couple of closing comments. Again, my apologies to the analysts for not having the financial statements into their hands for a more thorough review before this call. Hopefully you've accessed the statements now, and I'm happy to, within the context of our disclosure responsibilities, add additional color individually. So please do get in touch with either Evan or myself, and we'll be try to be as helpful as we can there. So again, my apologies for that. I want to thank, however, all of you for attending and for your thoughtful questions. And wish you all a good day. Thanks, operator.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call for today. If you have further questions, please call our Carmanah Investor Relations toll-free number at 1-877-255-8483. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.